Father, we thank you for your word, and we just pray you'll open our hearts and our minds to receive all that you want to help us to understand this morning. But more than that, Lord Jesus, we just pray that our experience of you will be even deeper. For we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. I wonder what the greatest disease of all time is. I suppose that depends on your circumstances and your relatives or friends that you know. And we all know people, don't we, who are poorly. We have a number in our own church and we pray for them. We long for them to be healed. Sadly, we don't see often our prayers answered in the way that we would like. So what does this verse mean? Daughter, your faith has made you well. Go in peace and be healed of your disease. Does it mean that we have faith? If we have faith, we will definitely be healed? Well, no, but also yes. And I'll explain hopefully what I mean by that. And we can't understand this saying unless we see the context, and Andy just referred to that, because just before the little bit that we read, Jairus, who was one of the rulers of the synagogues, their churches, the Jewish churches, he had come to Jesus as a ruler of the synagogue, and he'd asked, he'd implored Jesus to heal his daughter. So Jesus was on his way to see Jairus. Interesting that Jairus, a leader of the synagogues, was able to do this, willing to do it. Why? Because his precious daughter was poorly. So he was at this stage unafraid of what the Pharisees would say, because they wouldn't like it, that somebody, a ruler of the synagogue, was going to go to Jesus. And we have this great crowd who followed him, and they pressed in on him. So we've got Jesus, we've got Jairus, we've got a great crowd. We've got the disciples, and we've got the woman. To imagine the picture there, walking along, pressing against Jesus. So what do we know about this woman? We don't know her name, but she'd been bleeding for 12 years. She'd sought help here and there, paid out all the money that she had. But it was to no avail. She was desperate. You see, not only did she have this physical problem, she was ceremonially unclean. And so she couldn't go into the synagogue. She couldn't touch anybody. She was almost an outcast because she was continually bleeding. So she was drained not only physically but emotionally too. But it says in verse, if you've got it still open, page 40. She had heard about Jesus. I preached at the 9:30 last week, but if you remember, I think it was David Capener preached here. And Jesus said, if you've got ears to hear, hear. Listen, but listen with your heart and mind. That's what Jesus was saying. That was in last week's chapter. And she'd listened. She'd listened to reports about Jesus. She was desperate. So what had she heard about him? Well, she would have heard that he was a prophet sent from God, because that was the word on the street. This is a holy person. This is somebody sent from God. That's what people were saying. She knew that he had miraculous powers. She knew that he delivered demons out of people. She knew that he had able to heal people. She would have heard some of the stories and the parables that he'd told. Maybe the ones that we had last week of the sower and the lamp. And she listened with her head and her heart. Maybe too she was encouraged by Jairus, the fact that he was a respected leader of the synagogue and he was following Jesus, so it must be all right. What does that say to us who are leaders? Maybe you're a leader of your home group. Maybe you're a leader in your family. Do we set an example that encourages others to be bold, to approach Jesus? And so she was encouraged, I think, by the fact that Jairus was there. And she reflected on Jesus and decided, I'm going to get close to this Jesus. She was determined to get close to him. She was desperate, whatever the cost. And there were obstacles in her way, of course. Her condition. She shouldn't actually be there in the crowd with the others. Physically, she was drained. It reminds me of the four men who took the lame man through the roof. They were desperate too. They went to Jesus. Or of the story that Jesus told of the man who wanted a loaf of bread at midnight. And so this lady, this woman, she had real trust that Jesus would be able to help her. But notice her attitude as well. She was in awe of this man, this Jesus, this Holy One of God. She was aware of her own condition, I'm sure. And so what did she do? She didn't do what Jairus did and went up to Jesus and asked him, look what it says. She came up behind him in the crowd. Humble. Humble attitude as she comes to Jesus. But she reached out and touched his cloak, even though she knew that's what everybody else said she shouldn't do. I wonder, is that what we do when we reach out to Jesus? Because he's here with us. The crowd were curious, but I wonder how many in the crowd who followed him, who were there with him, I wonder how their curiosity, did it lead them to an encounter with Jesus? And do we reach out and touch him? Or do we let things stop us? Lots of things can stop us from reaching out to Jesus and touching him. Sometimes maybe things that we do in church is an obstacle to people who come in who are not churched. We need to be careful, don't we? We don't put obstacles in the way. But so often, many of us allow things, the busyness of life, to stop us getting there and spending that precious time in the presence of Jesus. But when she touches Jesus, when she does that, she is changed. She is changed as soon as she touches him. Immediately it says, her hemorrhage stopped and she felt in her body that she was healed of her disease. Sometimes that happens to us as we are prayed for. Or we prayed for others. We actually feel physically that God is doing something in our lives. Then Jesus, of course, knew all along that she was there because he knows everything. He knew too that power had left him. And he turns to ask a question. And it's often the way that Jesus does. And it, like he said to blind Bartimaeus, do you remember? He says, what do you want me to do for you? I wonder what question Jesus wants to ask you today. He said to the woman, who touched me? And she didn't do a runner. She probably couldn't anyway, with the crowd. She admitted it was her and she fell at his feet, asking, by her body language, just have mercy upon me, you Holy One of God. She was probably, it says, fear and trembling. She was probably afraid because she'd broken the law of touching him when she was actually, as they called it, unclean. But you know, Jesus looked upon her kindly and he said to her, daughter. How wonderful that Jesus said to her, you belong to me. You're my child. You're my daughter. And when we trust on God's mercy and his forgiveness, that's exactly what he says to you and me. Daughter, son, my child. And so he says to her, Jesus says, your faith has made you well. Go in peace. Because faith and trust in Jesus makes us well from the greatest disease of all. We call it sin. It's our rebellion against God. It's doing things our own way with no regard for God. It's not treating God's word with respect and applying it to our lives. You see, sin kills not only the body, but it destroys the human spirit. And so we have, as we look at our TV screens, war, terror, murder, drugs, you name it. Why? Because sin that is unchecked leads to more and more evil. But Isaiah tells us that Jesus died on the cross so that we can be forgiven, healed, and given a new life in Christ. Those wonderful words in Isaiah 53, by his wounds we are healed. How wonderful is that? We can become God's children. The greatest disease is sin. And we can all have healing from that by coming to Jesus who died for us to be forgiven. Are you washed in the blood of Jesus? Yes, amen. We need to do that. We need to place ourselves at the mercy of God, just like this woman did. And then we can have peace in our heart. That's what Jesus says. Your faith has made you well. Go in peace. You see, so often this verse is misquoted, and we think only of the physical healing. But Jesus is talking about something greater than the need for physical healing. He wanted to give her peace in her heart. But he also does have compassion on her, because he knows that she's almost an outcast. And only then does Jesus say, after he said those words, he says, be healed of your disease. Do you remember the story of the man lowered down the roof? What's the first thing that Jesus says to him? He says, your sins are forgiven. And only after that, just like this lady here, he says, so that you may know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins, I say, rise up, pick up your bed and walk. So just like the lame man, the lady too is given forgiveness and healing for the greatest disease of all before she's given physical healing for her condition. And it's interesting, actually, that the Greek word here used for healing is actually for saved, to be saved. And Jesus doesn't say that faith will always bring physical healing, but faith is all that is required to receive spiritual healing. Just simple trust in Jesus. Jesus says, trust like a child has in their parent. So as I said at the beginning, does faith mean that we are always healed? Yes, from the greatest disease of all, sin. But no, sadly, it doesn't always mean that we're here physically, healed physically. But we are saved from the eternal consequences of sin, eternal death. But we are encouraged to pray for healing. In James, it says, if anyone is sick, let him call for the elders of the church to pray for him. And it says, Jesus, in John's Gospel this, Jesus has the Holy Spirit without measure. To everyone I believe that Jesus came into contact with who asked for healing would be healed physically as well as spiritually. We have the Holy Spirit too, but not in the same measure. John Wimber, who was founded the Vineyard Fellowship, said this, I don't know why when we pray, some are healed and some are not. All I know is that if we don't pray, no one gets healed. And so we pray at church, in our home groups, individually, and we do give thanks to God because we do see healings. Would we like more? Yes, of course we would. But maybe we can learn from this woman. She was passionate. She was desperate. And you know, sometimes we're not when we pray, are we? It's, you know, we've got this problem, Lord. Can you just deal with it? And then we're on our way out of God's presence. But you know, in many parts of the world, they see a lot more physical healings than we do. Why is that? I believe it's because very often they haven't got the NHS or hospitals or doctors near them. And if you haven't, what do you do? When I was in Nigeria, I've no medical training, by the way, but one of my jobs that I had to do was I was in charge of the medicine cabinet for the whole school. And it was a big cabinet about as big as all those chairs the other night. When I arrived, they said, "This is it, Christine. There's a list of things that you do." Oh, okay. Believe me, you really pray when a child is sick and you've nowhere else to go. You see, sometimes we're not really asking God. We're just, well, if you could do me a favour, that's fine. But we need to come into God's presence and really pray. And I find that challenging because I really believe that God wants to heal today, physically as well. Not always, it doesn't always happen, but God always answers our prayers. You see, in that first reading from Ephesians, this is what it says, one of the verses. It says, Paul says to the Ephesians, that we may know the immeasurable greatness of God's power. That we might know the immeasurable greatness of God's power. Is that what you want? It's what I want. Please, Lord, we need more of God's power in our lives. So we continue to ask, don't we? That God's Holy Spirit available to every one of us who has put our trust in Jesus. Not just the leaders, not just the leaders of a whole group. Every single one of us who has trusted Jesus, who is washed in the blood of Jesus, who knows that they're on the way to heaven, can ask for God's Holy Spirit to help them, to have that power to live for him. So we continue to ask that God's power will be in us and work through us and work through our prayers, and that those that we do pray for will be healed. But more than that, I urge you that we recognize the greatest disease of all, sin, and offer to all those who don't know Jesus, friends, family, let's be ready to offer them the healing power of Jesus. Amen.